Okay, Kitzer Likut Maran for Taira Hei B'Chatzaitzis for Kol Shofar. I am recording this in the Shirim. We're actually just finished the 8th Taira, so I'm recording these after the fact. Hopefully soon we'll be current with everything. But this way they can be used either as a Chazara or for an introduction. Aleph, Tzarech Kol Adam Leimar Kol Adam Leinivra Ela Bishvili. So we start off for Taira Hei, that bring Gemara from Sanhedrin, that every person should say that the world was created for me. Now the obvious thing that jumps off the page is, well, if the sun, moon, and stars are created for me, and they're also created for you, so that means that if you weren't here, they'd be here anyway. What is the significance of this attitude? So two ideas, and then we'll jump forward, but just things to keep in mind. One is that I believe it's brought down. I heard it from Yitzchak Berkowitz, but I've seen it quoted in other places. I believe I'm quoting it right, but the point is right, even if I'm quoting a drop wrong. There's a Gemara where Tanaeus Rufus came to Rabbi Akiva and said, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu brought a pasuk, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu loves the poor, so why are they poor? And Rabbi Akiva's response was, they're poor so that we can give them tzedakah. And the meaning of the response is that every single person lives in two worlds. A person lives in the world as he interacts with it, and a person lives in his own world. As far as I am concerned, if something happens to me, I say, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this to me? What am I supposed to learn from it? Is it something to bring me along, something to bring a strength out of me, hidden strength out of me? Is it a punishment? But as far as I'm concerned, when somebody else needs help, my reaction is not, well, if he tripped, he probably deserved it. As far as I'm concerned, it's part of my exposure, my avoda, and therefore, my reaction is, what contribution do I have to make in the world that I find myself? I live in the world of my avoda. But the second point is, let's say there's going to be, you're an extra in a movie, or there needs to be a crowd someplace. So if you weren't here, would it really make a difference? Somebody else could fill your spot. But let's say, Rav Aaron Lopiansky explained a certain point like this. Let's say you're going to a wedding or a Sheva Brachas or somebody's birthday party or to pay a Shiva call. So at that point, you're not replaceable. Whatever relationship, whatever comfort your presence is providing, it's not a numbers game, as far as you're concerned, you need to be there. And this really is the aside of Kol Olam Niver Bishvili, that there's some sort of a tikkun, there's some contribution that no matter how big, how small a person is, but there's some unique contribution that on the grid of time and space, where every single person is uniquely living in a certain time and place and culture, and whether it's even a family birth order, he's the oldest, he's the youngest in a family, there's some nakuda that every single person is unique. And as far as being able to bring that out in the Bria, so the entire structure of creation has to be in place in order for you to do this. Somebody else is going to be operating within that structure of creation to do his job. So vis-a-vis your avoda and what has to come out of the Bria that you have the opportunity to engage and to grow in and to benefit to benefit your world, as far as that's concerned, the entire stage of creation is created as a opportunity and a platform, as a hechtimtzer for you to engage your task. Al kain, therefore, but since you have this accountability, really, tzarech kol adam liros ula'ayin, every person should be aware and to look into b'choleis at every time, b'tikon ha'olam, and how he can benefit the world, ulamalos chasrein, and to fill in whatever lacking there is, chasrein ha'olam, ulispal b'avuram. Not every person is able to benefit everything. One obvious example, a kohen is not necessarily going to be able to, be a doctor where he might come into contact with a certain tumah. A king who is not a kohen might be able to do great things. He will not be able to duchen, right? Everybody has their own task. So not everybody's going to do everything. You might not be able to cure hunger in Africa. However, there is something else that's actual hishtadlus that can have an actual impact and change the world in a spiritual way, and it can have a physical impact as well in terms of how things happen in our world, and that is to daven. That's to pray, to attach yourself to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and davening works. Davening is actual hishtadlus. Beis tzarech lasos hamitzvah besimcha gedola. A person needs to do a mitzvah with a simcha gedola, incredible simcha, pure simcha. Kolkach, that's such a great and true and deep simcha atzlo yirtza b'shum schar oylam haba b'shvila. The simcha is ezu asher sameach b'chalko. The simcha is when a person is, it's a certain satisfaction. There's no place else that I'd rather be. This is exactly what I should be engaging. I'm not doing, if I work in order to make money, so then maybe I did a job that made a lot of money, but ultimately I would rather get the prize without having to put in the work. When one thing is a hechatimtza, when one thing is leading to something else, there's a means to an end. The end is what you want. Even if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you do mitzvahs for the right reasons, you want the ultimate schar, but if the mitzvah is bringing you towards something else, so then it's not complete on its own. The simcha that we're talking about is where, yes, you know you're going to get schar, and the schar will be awesome, but as far as the attitude when you're engaging in the mitzvah itself, it is not focused on some that as being a means to an end. That is exactly the sipuk, the satisfaction that you're getting. Only that HaKadosh Baruch Who should give you more opportunities. The mitzvahs themselves are what you want to be doing. You did one mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're serving Hashem, and you want nothing more than to serve Hashem. And now that you served HaKadosh Baruch Hu once, you just want to get into a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you further opportunity to be engaged in service. Because that's where you're actually enjoying, engaging, having simcha in the mitzvah itself. Amazing. And if a person is doing this, then he can be tapped in to the at the root. He can be tapped in so much to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, such that and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's governance at the world, such that if there was a gzeira that was nigzar, if there was a decree that was decreed on the world, so by engaging with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and feeling this dveikus with Hashem and doing a mitzvah b'simcha and being aligned with Ratzon Hashem, he'll be able to tell whether or not there was a gzeira that was down on the world. Vim hu kaidim gzar din or the achar gzar din. And as he's davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll be able to tell when he's davening for something whether a certain gzeira is in place, because we're going to say, or it says in the Torah, that the nature of a tefillah is a certain mechanism. The nature of a tefillah before or after a decree has actually been passed, even if it has not yet been carried out, it's going to take on a different form. And if chas v'shalom there was a gzera on somebody, he'll be able to tell. How should he daven for the world? Because after the gzera din, if the decree is still on the table, so to speak, a person can have a straightforward tefillah. If the decree is already cemented in, so then a person can't challenge the decree head on. But rather, the tefillah will have to take on a separate form. Over here, he talks about in the context of Sipurim and telling stories. But Eich Sheiyah, the tefillah will take on a different form, and therefore, it's very important to know what the status of affairs is, so that you know how to engage tefillah. And the way to do that is to have this dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to attach oneself really at the closer to the source of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the world. And the way to do that is to engage with Ratzon Hashem, which is by doing Hashem's will in the form of the mitzvahs for the will itself, not because you want to get schar, that's you, but no, you're engaging in the service, that's what you get the satisfaction in itself, and then you'll be sensitive to the status of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding the world and what's in place. By really engaging and having your own satisfaction, so that your will and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will come one, right? Now, Ikar HaSimcha Gimel, Ikar HaSimcha Hu Balev. This Simcha, the place where we relate to this Simcha, is in the Lev, in the heart. V'ef Shel Lev L'Smayach Ad SheYasir Rak Mumia Shebelibo. The Lev has to be pure, and the sensitivities cannot be dulled. If there's some sort of a crookedness in the heart, then the heart will not, the thermometer, some sort of a very sensitive type of equipment, if there's crookedness over there, if there's something messed up, it won't be sensitive, it won't be able to be sensitive and to achieve the simcha and mitzvahs. He needs to have yashur salev, he needs to be straight in line with the MS, able to attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu straight to be able to have this simcha. The way to fix up the crookedness of the heart is through thunder. Which is achieved through a enthusiastic, energetic tefillah that comes out with kavana and avas Hashem and yiras Hashem and intense concentration. Ois Dalit in this piece of Ketzer the Kutimaran, Lizkais la Simcha, in order to merit to achieve this level of Simcha, where one can be sensitive to the state of affairs to know how to daven, Hanal, Hu al yidei shemes palalin b'kaychais ubiyira gedoyla uba'ava. So a person merits this by davening with, again, the appropriate enthusiasm and kayach, and that will create this thunder to straighten out the akmumia shebelev, the crookedness of the heart, to develop the sensitivity. Hey, tzaruch lispalim kolak. A person should daven with all of his kayach, and to daven with great energy so that the voice comes out. We'll discuss elsewhere whether this means almost like a physical voice, or whether you can have a voice that goes to your head and almost like bypasses the lips. Can you scream out in your mind, right? Scream out in silence. But in any event, over here, we're talking about where there's going to be a koil that comes out with a great kayach, and as that whatever energy develops, in other words, so it's almost like a cycle, because you have this kavana that you develop that generates a kol. The kol, and sometimes you have a thought that generates a voice, but sometimes you can have like an emotion, and that will cause a certain reaction, and then you'll almost, it'll affect your mind. Then your mind will get wrapped up in the enthusiasm. So over here, the voice, the kol, will impact your mayach, your mind, v'az yuchal chavein, and then you will be able to concentrate. Hainu shehalev yishma mashu medaber. So after the voice strikes your mind, then you're able to concentrate, so then your lave, your heart, will then hear what you're saying. So it's like a kind of like cyclical. So after you generate the koil, the voice with the tefillah, and then it goes to your mind, and then that will have an impact in your heart to straighten out the crookedness in your heart. So then now your heart will be clear and free, the crookedness will be gone, so that you can achieve simcha, chiyasa, mitzvahs, besimcha gedol. So that you can do the mitzvahs, mei mitzvahs ba'atzman, with the simcha and the mitzvah himself. Kanal v'yizke sheyuchal lahalbish es tefilaso b'sipuro dvarim olavatl kol gzeres afilu liachar gzardin. And then, if it's post-gzera, you'll know whether it's before or post-gzera, so that you can structure your tefillah appropriately, either a straightforward, or if it's after the gzera, rachmana litzlan, that you can do it in the form of like a roundabout type of a tefillah in a connection with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, so the tefillah will take on the appropriate form, given what you have to accomplish. Vav, misha sheimet, ki ha-shefer b'rosh ha-shana, me'ish yarei v'chared b'vadei lo yida kol ha-shana me'ra'amim. If a person we actually talked about in the context of Nagina, in the third Torah, about hearing music from a right type of from a chazan who has the appropriate thoughts. But over here, we're talking about the tekiah shofar from Rosh Hashanah. If a person can accomplish the ra'amim, if a person can accomplish that thunder through the kol shofar, that will have the appropriate impact on him on Rosh Hashanah, then he won't have to worry about needing the to develop the thunder in alternate ways throughout the rest of the year, because those gzeres will be batal. Zayin lizgais b'shleimus lebchinas ra'amim, in order to fully arrive at this type of a thunder, who are yidei shemefanen hamayach mikol minei chachmais chitzainiyais. So there's multiple things over here that we need in order to line ourselves up so that we can be enough sensitive to develop a relationship with our Kaddish Baruch Hu, specifically in the form of doing the mitzvahs with the simcha and the mitzvah of engaging avoda with the avoda itself over here. So we said you needed a heart that wasn't crooked. How did you get the crookedness out of the heart? Through tefillah. But in order for the tefillah, the voice, to hit the mayach, hit the brain, to generate thunder, to straighten out the crookedness of the heart, then the mind has to be clear. What can stop the mind from being clear? Chachmas chitzainis u'machshavas zaras v'irhurim rabim. If a person has types of secular wisdom and foreign thoughts, taivais, different types of things. I think, I don't remember exactly if we were discussing it. I think when we learned this Torah, you know, it's one of the people can do what they want. It's just my hargasha, you know, that when it comes to these things, you know, everyone is very, very careful when it comes to, let's say, choosing a school or a yeshiva or a rebbe or a tutor, certain types of things for their children. But a lot of times people might tend to use either, you know, shows or YouTube as electronic babysitters, or not be careful about novels, perhaps being careful maybe if there's inappropriate language or if there's really like inappropriate type of behavior of an arayistic nature. But the truth is that who are the writers of these shows? What are their values? When we incorporate a foreign value system and foreign culture into our mind. So especially when we're young, that structures a certain value system and a certain way of looking at things that might not be in line with Torah values. Next piece. So now he continues on. A person has to take the utmost clear to clear his mind from this secular type of wisdom. So we use chametz as like a souring, a fermenting of the matzah. So we use this lashon of chametz. The Torah goes through it also that a person shouldn't be machmitz, sour his chachma in line with distorted, we'll call it, secular types of ideas and values, because they will stuff him up, and they'll create a tumma, they'll take him away from the source of life. And he won't be able to properly have kavanah's tefillah, and he won't be able to properly have satisfaction. Now, aside from in a spiritual sense, it makes sense in a regular sense also. If a person has a appropriate values and appropriate wants, so then his true satisfaction and his true engagement will be in line with that. If a person has a foreign value system and he has taivas that are not in line with Ratzon Hashem, he won't be able to achieve true simcha. He can do the lip service, but he won't really achieve true satisfaction and truly engaged tefillah when what he wants is not in line with Ratzon Hashem. Gam tzarach lishmar atzma ma'od, shlo yelo yira chitzonius, that he shouldn't have external, extraneous fears. Shlo yira mishum davar rak me'Hashem yizbarach levad, ki al yidei yiras chitzonius yefshel l'chavim tfilasom aneya asimcha. So a person should not be afraid of anything else. Now, I think that at least in one way of understanding, just like a very grounded way of understanding, there are fears. Does that mean that a person shouldn't, be afraid of what if a car coming down the street or not put an alarm on his house? I don't think that's what it means. But there are certain, immediate things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria that affect our emotions. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if Hashem is the ultimate source of everything, so then when we, it could be that we will have a certain trepidation of something that happens in an immediate sense. But the real fear that we have to have, the source of where everything comes from, that's really where all of our energy and attention is directed in terms of what's going to happen and what could happen and what might be a punishment for something, or if something happens to us, if there's a drought, right, is our, in a certain sense, do we look to say, well, what kind of an avodah zara can we, what type of an immediate fix can we do in order to create some sort of rain? Or do we say, no, Hashem made the drought. Obviously, he wants us to put our mindset in terms of tshuva. And that's, people have their own ideas in terms of segulas and things like that. But this is our mindset. Are we looking at an external cause, or are we looking at at the cause being HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rav Avigdor Miller actually says that Yira is Lashon of Ra'a, a person who knows the truth. So then they will have Yiras Hashem. They will have an awe of Hashem. They will be affecting the truth, and their value system will be right. But if a person has Yira Chitzonia, so then it's wonderful that he davens and gets that, so to speak, Chas V'Shalom, to say, out of the way, he did what he had to do over there. But now he has to address the other causes because he's afraid of them. V'ha'ikar lishmar mocho shelo yachmet shelo yahar b'ruhum ra'im u'b'tayvois. So a person really has to guide his mind and his brain. That's the source of what we are, right? I mean, that's in a certain sense, that's, we are a nefesh sichlis. Our point of view is what shapes our attitude. It's what shapes our personality. So we have to make sure that doesn't become fermented, sour, distorted. And we shouldn't engage ourselves in hirhur, negative thoughts and taivas. Shem b'chinas chamed, shem sitra d'maisa. That this is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elohim Chaim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of life. So then anything else, you could say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and put into a system where there's going to be taiv and ra, something that we can have b'chira and we could fight against. But if it's not, but that's not at the source. If everything is goodness, so then anything that's negative, that's a distortion of that, is not rooted in the ultimate infinite source, and therefore it's just temporary. Anything that's temporary is essentially dying a slow death. It's not, it's like a leaf that falls off of a tree. It might be very green and it might be very fresh looking, but it's just dying a slow death. It's just a question of when it will wither away, as opposed to a leaf that might be a little browner, but if it's still attached, it's still alive. V'tzarech ligar be'elu. And therefore, a person should really guard himself, we could say, I guess, against these negative thoughts, sitra nachranin, these sitra achra, things that come from the other side, so to speak, and chase them out of his mind. It's very difficult to chase something out of your mind. The easiest way to do this is to replace it with something else. I believe that the Baal Tanya talks about this. If a person is walking and his mind is a vacuum, then negative things can come into his mind. What should a person do? Think about Nefilas Sabari. Think about the positive way, right? If a person is thinking about a math example and they're confused, the easiest way to not be confused of whether 2 plus 2 is 5 or 4 or 6 is to see the truth. Once you see what the truth is, then there's no room for something that doesn't make any sense. But if you know the proper direction someplace, then you're not going to start thinking other ways to go necessarily if you're really confident in the truth and in the most efficient way to do it. Shalei Karvoy Lav, so therefore you shouldn't let any of these other types of outside influences come close to you. V'lishmar atzmo ma'od ma'od, shalei yikonsu b'mocho el ma'shalas chas v'shalom, you shouldn't let any of these external things in. Gam tzarech l'shate fa'ava me'yira, ava and yira go together, they have to come together, it can't just be yira. Year is an Oa, Av and Year in general go together. The more that you have an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can have an infinite amount of appreciation. The more that you have an appreciation, the more you're in Oa. The more you're in Oa, the more that you want to get closer. The more that you get closer, the more you're in Oa. This relationship is made of Av and Year of Az Daika Yuchal Zakech Mocho, and that's where a person is able to straighten out his Mayach, his mind, Sheispal B'Kavana Gedayla, and that way he is a straight in line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wants to engage Avoda, and he'll daven B'Chol HaKocho, Satchiyativ Vilasud. It's only once a person is fully committed that he can really daven b'chol kaychai, right? Because if a person can do 10, 20, 99%, but until a person goes all in, you're not going to have where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. And therefore, when a person go fully in daven with all of his kayach, that's where it can go back and affect his heart and take out the crookedness so that he can do mitzvahs b'simcha, which is what we're trying to get to. Folding it back into the beginning of the Torah. Next ice. Tas tzarach lishmar atzmo miyiras hachitzaynia shelo yipol alav yira mishum davar sheba aylam. So therefore, besides for these negative attitudes, if there's two partners and you know you're close with one of them, but there's some other factor that you're afraid of, so you can't be fully bought in and fully committed to one direction when there's a fear of something else that might have an impact, right? That's gonna be an inhibiting factor. Rak shebal of eza yira v'fachad yizkar miyad yiras Hashem izbarach upachtoy agadol v'yam shechalatzmo yiras Hashem kol yom tamid. Only until a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mechadish Alam Chom Tama Masad Rashis. Every single thing that happens is within the context of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaMakayim, right? A person, if they're scared of the authorities, right, they might be on camera, then they're always going to have, you know, one eye open. But over here, if we say that everything that you do, you're not going to be able to do something dishonest and achieve what you want. Maybe in the short term, you think you can, but everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching, and if a gneva, if let's say something that's not honest is outside of Ratzon Hashem, then you are not going to be able to cheat the system and get something that you want. You have to understand that no matter what we do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the cause, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who is watching, and therefore the only one that we are accountable to, and the only thing that really makes a difference is the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'yedeza yuchal espal im kaiches lahaitzi b'kayach gadol. And therefore, once we're fully committed, that we're always conscious of Hashem and nothing else, and even if there's something else that we are conscious of, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind that also, and therefore that's really where our full attention is. Other than if we say, you know, if there's a person who has a stick and the stick is hitting the dog, so you could say, well, I'm scared of the stick. But if you understand the stick is being waved, even if you acknowledge that that's the immediate cause that Hashem wants you to interact with. But over here, we're saying is that once a person says that it's all Hashem, so that's where he can fully engage tefillah. And his tefillah can be thunder, and there his full consciousness, it won't just be lip service, him saying things, that's where he'll be saying these words of tefillah, getting towards Hashem, and his full consciousness will be able to be impacted by his tefillah, and then it'll come back around, it'll straighten out again. again, the crookedness of his heart. I'm kind of foreshadowing a little bit, so some of it sounds a little repetitive, but he's really building subtly on these concepts as we go, and he'll be able to have simcha mei mitzvah asma v'ayideh zayizka leide levatel kol gzeres afilu liyachar gzardin chas v'shalem, and therefore he'll be able to have the tefillah. Again, it's mapped out, so as I read it, I kind of read some of this back into it, but it really flows, and that way he'll know how to engage tefillah, because he'll be in line with Ratzon Hashem, and he'll understand the state of Hashem simcha, so to speak, with the world and with us, and therefore he'll understand why the world is running the way it is. And since, by the way, every mitzvah, I don't know if he's going to say this here, I don't remember, but since every single the world has a certain structure, the world is a kaima shlema, and Adam is a kaima shlema, the world parallels itself, and there's a certain structure to the world, so every mitzvah parallels a certain limb and a certain chelik of the bria. So when if he engages in a mitzvah, this is where we're kind of going with it, if he engages a mitzvah and he tries to do the simcha and he doesn't feel it, so he'll know that there's some pagam, there's something lacking, there's some in where Hashem is getting nachas in that area because we are deserving of a certain gzeira, and then he'll understand that there's going to be a gzeira on the world in the way that parallels the lacking of the simcha and the nachas that Hashem has with the world as regards a particular mitzvah, and that's how he'll know how to daven. Gam tzarach l'shatev ha'ava imayira k'dei lizgos l'kol anal, and therefore it has to be a complete relationship again with ava and yira, ki ikar is gabris ho'idei ava. Really, the main way to overcome enemies, the main way to get close to Hashem, the yira is where we realize our relationship with Hashem, but the ava is where we actually are davek and we have that connection. Ach afal pikein tzrich l'mahakdem es ha'yira. So again, the yira, you want to get close to somebody who you're tremendously in awe of. Before you can have a dveikus, it's like saying, oh, I'm very close. I am very close to that person. Let's say a five-year-old says, I'm very close with Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I sat on his lap. Well, is that a close relationship with somebody? Through his eyes, the more that you understand the depth of who you're dealing with and the nature of a relationship is the more that you can engage that relationship. The more primitive your understanding, the more primitive the relationship. Yira is necessary in order to engage Ava. Next piece. Yira Aleph, Misha writes a lochus al chayav tzarech l'skaber shlo yishma v'yashkiach klal al hamarivai shebena tzadikim ha-shlemim rak l'hamin bekulam. Now this is actually a very big point. I think we pointed out in the Shiurim that when this Torah was taught, one of the issues that was going on with Rav Nosson, Rav Nachman's primary Talmud who recorded the Likute Maran, was that he was noticing that there was seemingly a lot of conflict between a lot of great men, and this was throwing him off, and it's something that we, I think, are all sensitive to. I'll just speak out that that Rabbi Nachman explains that great men stand for great ideals and they want to get close to Hashem, and a lot of times there might be this perceived conflict, but that's not really personal. That's if I think that there's a certain truth and you are standing for something that's not the truth as I understand it, and vice versa, so then that's not really a fight per se, even though we might have a disagreement. When a person sees that tzaddikim are fighting, what they're really doing is that they're judging the tzaddikim through their own perspective. So what they say is, since this is how I see the world, it must be that their fight is really personal and petty and whatever else it's about. And a person should understand that if he perceives that tzaddikim are fighting, what he should therefore understand is that there's something that's wrong with his perspective. And obviously, we're talking about real tzaddikim. We're not talking about, maybe they're not really tzaddikim. But if a person sees that there are great men fighting, so he should say, well, if that's my perception of it, I have to reevaluate what type of a lens am I looking at the world with. It's something there a person should turn inwards. So he says over here that a person who wants to take pity on his own life, so to speak, so he must not pay attention. He shouldn't understand the world as there being a conflict and personal conflict and petty conflict between tzaddikim who are on a level where they are shleimim, they've reached perfection. That's not what they, that's not what the nature of that discussion, so to speak, is about, even if it appears to be heated. The Adarabah, I think Rabbi Nachman stated himself that somebody who was against or seemingly against him, he said that's because he misunderstands. I believe I read this in one of the notes. He misunderstands, something that I'm representing. And the truth is that if I would be in his position, I would also be against that idea. But it's absolutely not personal. A person has to be a on a tremendous level in order to be able to see the world through that degree of purity and not take it personally. When he does hear about fights between tzaddikim, he should take for himself musar. It's a chance to turn inward. He has to see, where am I holding? Obviously, there's something that's wrong in his perspective, his brain, so to speak, the way that he looks at the world. He's now judging great men through his eyes. Really, our idea is to try to purify ourselves, to attach ourselves to something greater than us, not to try to bring things that are greater than us down into our perspective. If it wasn't that there was some sort of a blemish in his brain, so to speak, I don't know if this means that a person wouldn't hear that the tzaddikim are fighting, or, you know, if you hear two people having an intellectual discussion, you know, they seem to be fighting, and then all of a sudden the class bell rings and they walk arm in arm into the dining room, then that means that they weren't really fighting, they were having a discussion, and you wouldn't, if you understood this, you wouldn't perceive it as a fight. So I guess the fact that you hear that, you're sensitive to the idea that they're fighting, that means that that's how you perceive it. Not that you're not aware that there's a discussion going on. But he says the fact that you hear that tzaddikim are fighting, that's an opportunity and a chance and a directive, really, that you're supposed to be turning inward. Right, you wouldn't have heard the fights between tzaddikim, and it wouldn't have gone into your heart that there's any sort of a question, an accusatory question on them. And the reason that there was a fight was, so to speak, again, as far as I'm concerned, if I'm sensitive to a fight, that's because Hashem is sending me a message. If I'm exposed to something, that should give me, it doesn't make a difference vis-a-vis the world. If I'm exposed to something, the question is, what is my avoda here? So if I'm exposed to this fight, the question is what's my avoda? What's my response? That's all I need to be caring about. That I should understand through this exposure and this, what I'm sensitive to, my perception, where I'm holding, this is trying to take me out of my growth, my life. The true life is associated with the tzaddik. Meaning, a tzaddik is the embodiment of Torah, and therefore my attachment to a tzaddik can give me access to appreciating what a true human being can be. It can be giving me access to somebody who has been able to shed all of these personal, petty types of things, and it can help. My attachment to the tzaddik will help my tefillah and help me engage my growth. We discussed one of the other Torahs saying, vidui with a tzaddik, help me my direction, both in a personal way, both and in a communal way, so that if I perceive these tzaddikim as, you know, being petty characters, so to speak, then it's going to drive me away from this attachment, then I'm going to lose out on all that. I'm not going to be able to attain true chayim in my own right. Because of the fact that this blemished, the drops, so to speak, of my own mind, nemar kol ba'echa lo yeshuvun, it says that all who enter will not return, v'lo yasigu orchos chayim, and they will not attain the paths of life. Okay, so whoever gets involved is not going to be able to achieve true life. Umishu ksil ve'eno, whoever enters into these issues. Umishu ksil ve'eno maven asos be'emes nisrachik, whoever's a fool and does not understand this, nisrachik will become distanced. Al yidezev oved esolamo, he will totally lose out on his world. Interestingly, we said that the whole world is created for my avoda. Everything that I'm exposed to is there to be specifically. There's no extra pieces in the world. It's there to be utilized for my growth and my attachment to Hashem. I'm the one who's going to lose out on all of that. Avomisha writes a lachus. The more that I become the center, that I become the scope of my perspective, my world, the less that I can attach to something greater than myself. Avomisha writes a lachus al atzmai. The MS, a person who really has pity on themselves, his response should be, is what's my avoda here? Why is it that I am engaged to this seemingly negative stuff? Why do I perceive it as negative? What is my point of view? Where am I holding? And that's in life. Whenever there's some sort of thing, maybe a tragedy, whatever it is, people feel this need to label what others are doing wrong or why it happened. The only question is what is my avoda here? Zehu Hanisayan Shelo. The only, as far as I'm concerned, the Nisayan is for me. Shetzarach Lamud Bazan Nisayan Shelo Yishma Velo Yistakel Al Mariva. Don't hear, don't look, don't focus. That's not really what's going on. As I, and you're going to shape your mind in a distorted way. V'neskariv Daika Ideza Latzadikim Hamitim Shaideza Iker Tikun Al Netzach. If all these things are essentially going to, you're going to hear questionable things about great people, and if they're not great, they're not great. But if you're going to hear questionable things, criticisms of great people, and that's going to prevent you from being able to look up to them and get close to them, so then you're the one who's going to lose out, and that's why the Yitzhar is making you see these things. Ki ikar hamariva shebein atzadikim he bishfil zed daika. That is why, as far as you're concerned, there's this seeming conflict between tzaddikim, b'shvil nisayin zesh and israchek hamisrachek. In order to distance those, the Yetzirah is trying to make it that people are not going to want to get close to great men. Because he is, it's appropriate to be distanced, because it's a little circular, because of these, this negative pagam in his mind. So he doesn't deserve, it's appropriate for him to be distanced. The reason that he's distanced, though, is because of this blemish, and that's why he perceives the conflict. That's what's keeping him away. If he wants to be able to turn inward and see, therefore, why it is that he's being distanced from these tzaddikim, and realize the issues that he's having, then that should be specifically where he abandons this point of view, understands that he has to not try to plug, again, things greater than himself into his perspective and then shade them and be critical of them, but rather a step outside of himself and try to be mevatel himself to tzaddikim and ultimately to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki machma shepogam kol kach, it's only because he has this distorted perspective, this chametz, right? Yev shalolis karev ki emayidez nisayun zedayka v'haven. Had he not had this, then he would have been able to just go in a straightforward way. But now that he's built up these negative midos and this negative way of looking at things, therefore this becomes what he has to overcome. He's going to see the tzaddikim through his own pettiness. Ki be'emes Hashem yizbarach chafetz chesed hu v'roitz l'karv hamaruchakim. Really, ultimately, Hashem wants him to get close. Afal pi she'enim ru'uyim, even if he's not roi, or l'karvam, to bring him close. Aval ein yichol l'skarv k'mal yidein yisoyin zeh kanal. So therefore, since Hashem wants to bring us close, so where a person puts himself in a situation where he's created barriers, so therefore Hashem will wants him to get close, but the way that he's going to have to get close will be to overcome these barriers. Hamachshavos zaros v'hirhurim raim. So foreign thoughts and these negative hirhurim heim bechina sitra demaisa bechinas chametz. So we said that these negative thoughts and desires and so forth. I'm not sure exactly the difference between machshavos and hirhurim. Maybe one is farther, one is more immediate, one is farther reaching. But in any event, or one is about a specific situation and one is more about like ambitions, but in any event, these are, again, like we said, sitra demaisa b'chinas chametz, something that's, it's puffed up for now, but matzah doesn't go stale, bread goes stale, right? It might be, we discussed in the eighth time, ruach sa'ara, it might be stronger and bigger now, but it ultimately is just dying a slow death, so to speak. When these negative thoughts run after him to go into his mindset, and a person repels them, rebukes them, stays away from them, and he contends with them, and he doesn't allow them to enter into his brain, into his thought process, he will be saved, and he will be able to have matzah, is flour and water. It's pure, it's true, there's nothing else that's dazzling about it. It won't puff up, it also won't go stale, and he will be in line with the truth. And it's understood that the mitzvah of destroying chametz and eating matzah on Pesach are in line with all of these things that we can tap into as we just discussed. Last few lines. The conflict, in whatever form it takes, though, between tzaddikim who have attained perfection actually is that reason. It's ultimately to draw, to push away the sitra achra so that it won't come close to the mishkan of kedusha. So I guess this could be taken in a couple of ways. Either it's to draw or to push away the negative elements, or that the ultimate the underlying reason for any actual conflict between them is to push away certain things that they perceive as being not in line with Avodas Hashem. But in any event, he just does come back around to say that the reason that there is any conflict between tzaddikim is further to sift out the impurity and keep it away from the Mishkan of Hashem, so that ultimately we can be mevarer and clarify and purify the state of affairs, the tzaddikim, the people that are close to tzaddikim, that will ultimately be able to push forward, to get close to Hashem, to daven with kayach, and be able to do mitzvahs besimcha, so that, again, back around to the beginning, we can achieve and be sensitive to this closeness with Hashem, and not only daven, but know how to daven, understand the way that the things are playing out in the world, and understand the nature of the tefillah that's needed in order to bring about a tikkun.